Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and it's going to be a great day on New Life. Come and join us for New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number. 1-800-229-3000.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you or you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk and do so many crummy things and make so many. And they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us. Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and my good friends in the studio are going to say hi to you.
Hi, everybody. This is John Townsend, and we also have Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Jill Hubbard, yes. Hello, everybody. Hi, Steve.
It's Steve and the Jays, John and Jill, today on New Life Live. You guys doing all right?
Doing good.
We're doing okay, yes.
Well, that's good. Well, I guess the big talk for everybody is Maria and Arnold splitting up. What do you guys think?
Well, maybe the big talk in California.
It may not be across the nation.
Indianapolis and New Jersey. That big.
Well, you ought to go to my Starbucks then.
Yeah, that's right. He's in Indy. I guess it is the big talk. Well, I think it's just sad, always sad to me when I see a couple that has had a long-standing marriage and very visible, and to hear that they're splitting. And I always wonder, how much does the media play in this and kind of playing it up, because it sounds like they are separating, and maybe hopefully to work things out. We don't know.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, you go through one of those things, you sure don't want anybody else to have to do it.
Think twice, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, we need to pray for them would be the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's kind of common now for people to go through the stage thing in life, that I'm just... I did the marriage and the kid thing, and that was a stage, and now I'm ready to move on to the next stage, and it's just not the way it's supposed to be.
How
do we help people with that?
The one thing I found about that whole how do you work a marriage thing out, guys, is sometimes you do run out of love. It just happens for various reasons, and you really can't make the connection. But I've found sort of miraculous things happen when a person uses the following formula that – We honestly don't have the love we have for each other, but we want to have it, or we want to have it in some cases.
Right.
And if you want to have it, then you go to God, both of you, and say, fill us up, heal us, help us see our part and their part, and the love comes back. I've just seen some really, really messed up people who both wanted to make it work, and it worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to have two.
Right.
But you don't have to have a lot. The want to doesn't mean you have to have a lot of gas in the tank.
Well, it's true.
Absolutely. And so much of what we struggle with, we end up putting onto our partner and making them the problem, when really there may be a whole host of other issues that we're still working out, and they've gotten in the way of that. They're just the target.
Very few 100% the other person problems I've found.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Are you saying I may not be the whole problem?
Like I said, except for Steve, who's always zero in my book, most of us have some contribution.
Well, I knew you thought I was a zero.
No.
Oh, well. Well, call us right now, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number, 1-800-229-3000. We really do need your help here at New Life, and so you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to support the ministry, or go to the website, newlife.com. Or if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. But we'll come right back after this. You come join us, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to have your call. We'll do two shows today, 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard there in Laguna Beach, California. I'm in Indianapolis. So I'm actually coming to you sooner since my time zone is the Eastern time. But anyway,
Steve, you've always been a couple of hours ahead of the rest of the world.
Yeah, three. All right. So why don't you guys pick our callers today? You're there in Laguna. You can start us off with the call of your choice at 1-800-229-3000.
I'd like for us to speak to Jim in Winter Park, Florida on WTLN.
Jim.
Hey, Steve and Jill and the whole gang. It's good
Hi,
to be
Jim.
Aboard. Listen to y'all talk as an education always.
Thank you.
In every conceivable manner.
Thank you. How are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing terrific. I'm fixing to get my picture taken. I'm at St. Andrew's Chapel or St. Andrew's R.C. Sproul's Church, and wish I could plug the old picture in from years ago now that I'm 60. But let me get to my question because I know that's important to a lot of callers. I've been a believer since 1971 and went to alcohol and drug treatment in 1987. How do I, as a believer, bring Christ into an AA meeting without unnecessarily offending, but yet remain true to my convictions?
Well, where do you see the conflict, Jim?
I see the conflict sometimes when people will bring up the second or third step and or how do you know God or what about prayer or how do you get in touch with your higher power? And it's almost like I feel like there's a sense of having to conform to the – you got to say higher power in order to be – click. And I think with any group, as C.S. Lewis used to talk about, there's a tendency to want to think that your way is the best way. And sometimes I just feel like there's a group conformity. And it's not an unhealthy meeting. I mean, we're all, and like Jesus said in Mark, you know, sick people at the door trying to get well. But yet there's just this, sometimes the shoe fits, you know, and I can't just dance around my Christian faith. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm just talking about sharing the essentials, the rudiments. My experience, strength, and hope is the fifth chapter of the Big Book talks about.
Yeah. Have you heard us talk recently about the Christ-centered beginnings of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yes. Yesterday y'all talked about that at the outset of the program, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and it really is true, and I was looking at this transcript of Dr. Bob, 1948. I was looking at it again, the last talk he ever gave, and he specifically refers to Christ. He quotes Christ in his last AA talk.
You said yesterday? Or the...
Well, this is another piece of this, but I was reading it on the plane last night, just going over it again, and I was reading down through toward the end. And he quotes scripture. Now, he's a speaker at a speaker meeting, and of course it's a kind of a convention at the time. But at a speaker meeting, one of the founders of AA not only mentioned Jesus Christ, but quoted scripture to everybody.
Right.
So I think that you don't have to apologize for being a Christian. And if anybody said, look, we don't want to be affiliated with any religion. Say, look, AA is not affiliated with any religion, but I happen to be a Christian. And I was just saying something that I believe. And I wouldn't hesitate to allow you to say something that you believe. You just want to do it with an attitude of, I'm not doing this to make a point or trying to offend or cause an issue. I'm doing it because this is what is on my heart that I want to communicate today.
I have to be a little careful, too, whenever I do share, you know, that I don't charge in like a bull, you know, having listened to someone talk about a certain matter, like, let's say, abortion or something like that, and I run in and charge and carry that banner or something. But yet, you know, how am I emotional, the old hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I want to be in the best place, but I sometimes find myself a little fear and trembling as the Apostle Paul, and I'm not trying to say I'm the Apostle Paul, but I find myself a little bit in that banner because, you know, everybody wants to be accepted, and I think that's probably what I'm dealing with at that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the abortion thing, I've found one of the best things you can say when somebody talks about abortion, say, you know, we've got something really in common. And that because the only argument I know that they use as thinking is valid is either the mother's health or we shouldn't bring children into a world to be raised by parents that don't love them. So you can say, you know, we've got something in common. I'm extremely concerned about children coming into the world and being raised by parents that despise them or abuse them. And that's one of the reasons I'm so big on adoption. But I'm also so interested in the mother's health, but not just her physical health. I'm interested in her spiritual health, and I have just seen over and over again so many women regretting that decision in their life. And if they had somehow seen a sonogram of that little baby in there, about 85 to 90% of them that were abortion-minded don't choose that. So I just try to connect with them on their concern for baby and for mom, and then tell them, but here's the real truth, as gentle as possible. Jill, John, what do you guys think?
Well, Jim, I was thinking that, you know, you mentioned that you want to be accepted, and one of the great things about 12-step programs is they offer acceptance for people who feel unacceptable. And so in that, everybody is trying to share and share what's true for them. And, you know, the healing really comes as you hear from other people. So it isn't your job, as you know, to go in and evangelize the group. Really,
right.
That God's going to do that. It's your job to show up, to be seeking healing for yourself, and to speak what is true for you. And I think that you can speak that truth in love to the group. And just keep that focus on, this is a time for you to heal. This isn't a time for you to go after people. And certainly one-on-one, there are often opportunities to talk to people after group meetings and things like that. And you may be surprised how people approach you as you share your truth. And they want to know more about, you know, who your higher power is, being Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I guess Billy Graham once said we need to be audio-visual. You know, we need to carry the message and, you know, share it too.
But you do share it by sharing who your higher power is and how it's working in your life.
Right.
Right?
And
that's kind of the format.
I appreciate this wisdom. Is there one other person that wanted to weigh in on this? Because I was just curious. I mean, it's good to...
Hi, Jim. This is...
Abundance of counsel.
Yeah, this is John Townsend. Hi.
Hey, John.
I really like what everybody said, but whenever I have a question like this, I always try to think empathetically on what's going on in the skulls of the people in the room around me, because I think we have a responsibility as Christians to have a certain impact on them one way or the other. So how are they experiencing me as we're sitting in the room? And I would wish for you that these people walk away thinking, what a vulnerable guy. He knows he's broken. He loves me. He's interested in my life. He's one of those cookie Christians, and he's got this faith, and he loves God, but he's more interested in knowing me and listening to me and being honest than he is making a point with me. And I would want to have coffee with that guy, and I want to say, let's talk some more. And what I would not want from that your experience on those other people is the evangelist came in and told us how, you know, we've got to have our faith right, and he's so screwed up, and he didn't even see that. You don't want that. Jesus said in Matthew 23, he said, we've all got to clean out the cups. So you go in there as a confessor, Jim, a guy who loves Jesus, but you're a confessor because you're broken. And our hat's off to you because you believe in AA, and we so believe in AA. Go in there as a broken confessor, as a faith, and you will make people want to have coffee with you later.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That's really good, John mm-hmm. and Jill. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your wisdom there. And then, Jim, go start a life recovery group, and there everybody can talk about Christ all they want to. Do you have a life recovery Bible?
Yes, I do. You guys send me one another time.
All right. Well, I'll send you another one. You can give it to a friend or a buddy, all right?
Okay, terrific.
I'm glad you called.
Thank you, guys and gals, for all the work y'all do.
Thanks for being on the team, buddy.
All right. Well, that was Jim from Winter Park, and we really appreciate the fact that he's recovering, and he's mm-hmm. keeping Christ central. And I just think what you guys have said was really, really valuable. And I don't know who said it, but I've taken credit for it, that, you know, speak a sermon if you have to, use words or something like that.
Wasn't that Augustine? It was either Augustine or St. Francis. I can't remember.
It was either St. Francis or me. I don't know which. I get
or
me
Steve
and St. Francis.
Yes.
Yeah, I get
yeah, Arterburn,
us.
St. Francis.
Yeah, St.
Close.
Francis. I get us confused, but mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Hey, let's go to Francie and talk with her. Francie is calling us from Florida, WTLN. Hey there, Francie.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah, how's Altamont?
Oh, hot.
I bet.
We're going to hit a high of 96 today. But wow. My question is, I've been married for 25 years to a really wonderful guy, I believe, although he was diagnosed about 10 years ago with clinical depression. Mm. He is an A-type person. I think that's what they call it.
Francie, why did you say
I'm guy guys.
Why did
yeah,
you,
guy
why
guys.
Did, why did you
anyway,
say... Anyway, Francie.
I've been told several times by a lot of people, my sisters, my parents, my sister-in-law, in fact, that my husband verbally abuses me, and we just went through another situation just 2 days ago where I was verbally, did I say physically? I meant verbally abused. Mm-hmm. And I've always said there's no way that I can leave him because he's sick, and I promised I would not leave him when he's ill. And the other point is that he'll always come around and apologize a couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
And right now,
what kind of sick is he? What kind of sick is he?
Clinical depression.
Okay.
And he's on heavy meds, you know, for that. When he goes off his meds, he.
What if your reaction to him kept him
sick? My reaction
sick?
To him, I try not
no,
to.
I listen. Francie, my question was
uh-huh.
this. What if your reaction to him either kept him sick or made him sicker?
I don't believe I made him sicker. My first reaction is to pray, but I really don't.
Well, I'm getting you. I'm
yelling
want you,
at me. I just listen.
I'm taking you down a different road here a little bit.
Oh.
And it's just what would you think? And I'm not saying this is true. I'm asking you to consider it. But what would you think if by never requiring anything of him, by him never feeling like he needs to get his act together or you're going to leave, he just stays the same, and that becomes a very depressing, frustrating, self-hating way to live his life.
Jill, John,
what do you guys
point,
think?
Yeah, when I raised up the point, please let's stay on the same page, or I didn't say that, or something like that, he says, it's always my fault. It's not, you never take the blame, is what he says. And I will say something like, are we in a fight? Because we're on the same, aren't we're not supposed to be fighting. We're on the same page, aren't we, team? And he'll say, you're not acting like a team player or something like that.
Hmm. Well, let's see what Jill and John think.
Francie, if he's not on his meds and he gets really mean, he still has a choice. Not having meds doesn't make you a mean person. You don't get a get out of jail pass because you're not on your meds, unless it's a psychotic issue. He's not psychotic; he's depressed. But he's going to be harder to reach when he's not on his meds. But if he continues to refuse them and he's being really mean to you, then you've got to go down a road. And the road is no longer to convince him that he's being mean, because you've had that talk. Your road is to say, here's how this affects me, this thing that you don't think that I do. I feel unmarried. I feel alone. I feel like I'm in a room by myself, and I need you and want you, but I'm so scared and you hurt me. There are some men that are mean, have a mean streak, that will break when they hear a wife say that, and they'll repent and change and say, I need to get a shrink. I don't want ever to do that again. There's a percentage of men that will do that. There's a percentage of men that won't, and we need to take you down the next path after the break.
All right. I'm really glad you called. I hope we can add some insight here. We've got Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard on today, and we always love it when these two are on, and I hope and pray that you'll call us if you need us right now.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. We're talking with Francie. And, John, you want to continue down that path you were going there?
Yeah. Then, like I said, a certain percentage, Francie, will go, I'm sorry, honey. I had no idea that this stuff that these things I say impact you. So now you've kind of come out of the lawyer position, Francie, of convincing him that he's hurtful into your heart, and there are just some men that will go, I love you. I'll never want to do this again. There's another percentage of men that will say, well, you did this, you provoke it, and then you and instead of saying whatever that is and getting to the lawyer part again, you've got to say, maybe I do. Let me say it again, though. I hurt, and I'm alone, and I'm without you. And I'll change anything I need to change. I don't want to be provocative, but this hurts me. And there's a good percentage of men that will go, yep, you're right. I'm just being a blamey person. Great. Then there's a percentage of men that will say, no, it's never me. It's always you. And that's when you have to go buy boundaries in marriage. And you have to learn, you're not hearing, just like God says to us, you're not hearing how you're affecting me. Jerusalem, I wish I could have put you under my wing like a hen does your chicks. And since you won't hear this, I'm going to have a systematic way of setting up consequences. I'm not leaving yet, but I'm going to have to kind of quarantine myself from your attitude so you don't hurt me. It might mean walking out of the house. It might mean telling you I've got to leave for a bit. It might mean going to stay with a friend. It might be bringing in the elders of the church. It might be bringing in the SWAT team, depending on how severe it is. Hold it. No, you can't. Let me get Francis. Francis, you can't talk right now. Let me finish.
Okay.
Then at that point, you have to say it's time to reach out to other sources and set up some structures where he has a choice to change and get it, but you are protected because you should never have to undergo verbal abuse again in your life. So that's kind of the path. Now, what were you going to say?
Okay. Well, the situation we have is that he will just leave, and the reason is he works up in North Carolina, and I live down here until our oldest son will graduate from high school. So he will threaten and just walk out if he's come home, you know, driven 12 hours for the weekend to turn around and go back 12, you know, Sunday 12 hours later. He will just threaten and say, I'm not coming home, or that kind of thing.
You know? So you guys are separated.
So we really are physically separated.
Yeah. Again. Uh-huh.
He will come home on certain occasions, and he tries to help. And the situation we had last time is that our something happened, and I didn't wake him up. It was early in the morning. I didn't wake him up right away. Instead, I dealt with the kids. And when the kid took off, he said, I should have woken him up before I even talked to the child. I don't keep them in the loop kind of thing. And the issue I have is that whenever he gets upset or something, I don't even have to tell him to leave. He will leave, you know, and drive back up to where he was. And we are supposed to get together, and I'm supposed to move up there this summer. And that's like in 1 month I'm supposed to move up there.
Okay. Jill has some thoughts about this, Francie.
You know, first of all, you know, it's commendable what you said about, you know, kind of the for better or worse and him being ill. However, I don't think that that means that you have to be saddled with everything, as the guys are saying. And yes, his depression is real, and it colors everything in his life. But it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse to act poorly. Okay?
That's how I treat it.
Yeah, I think you do treat it that way. Like you are, you know, you are excusing him because, well, he's depressed. Well, yeah. But he's still working. He's still functioning. He's not in a hospital somewhere, right? But he's taking out his diagnosis on everybody around him. And, you know, yes, people who are depressed are unhappy, and they don't care, and it does skew the way you look at things. But they have a responsibility, especially with chronic depression, to educate themselves, to find out the things that they can do, and to realize that the long-term effects on family members is really, really difficult. It is hard to be around someone who is depressed all the time. That wears you down. You cannot be his optimism forever.
Right. So this is a time for action, Francie, and it's a time for saying there's the requirements to stay with us. You've got to have help. You've got to see that you have a part of the problem. We've got to see somebody together. But we really can't have you with a depression and with a sort of a random come in and be nice and leave thing. We don't do that. So we'll send you Boundaries of Marriage. It's got lots of sort of systems and suggestions that many people have done this. It'll give you some help.
Well, you know, John and Jill, I have a person in my family or in our history that was so depressed. My mom was telling me about this lady. She was so depressed that she would go to visit someone and go to bed.
It can be that severe.
And then she wouldn't leave. She'd just stay in their bed. Now, that is the ultimate learned helplessness, I would say, or learned intrusion.
Yes and no. I mean, some depressions really are so deep that a person literally can't move. And it's sort of like you're living in mud, and there's this stuff around you where there's no energy. You really feel almost paralyzed, and it's really beyond a choice. Now, there certainly are people that do learn helplessness, but some sorts of depression, you literally cannot function, and it's all you can do to get to the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a lot of compassion for that.
She chose to get in the car and go over to their house.
Maybe that's all the gas she had in the tank.
Yeah.
That's all she had, and she had to have a little break.
Yeah, a little break there. So she stayed with one family a month in their bed. Anyway. pretty tough.
Did she
so you see
couch.
Where I come from. You see where I come from.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And I just want to...
Steve?
Yes? Oh. Yes?
Can we jump in, John?
Steve, John? I need to apologize to Francie.
John
okay,
and I had a little talk on the break here about some things.
Okay, what about...
I think I came across too sharp to Francie, and I'm sorry.
All right.
When I said, well, no, you can't talk, because, shoot, you know, we have a, sometimes on some calls, the person can't hear what we're saying and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I wasn't being as patient as I needed to be. So, Francie, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, and that's not, especially what you're going through, you don't need another guy being too sharp with you, so I'm really sorry about that.
Well, that's nice, John. Thank you. John?
Yes?
We're going to Israel.
Yes.
And we're leaving in less than a month.
Has this got something to do with my apology?
Weeks.
Oh,
no,
because
no.
Israel is the land of redemption and forgiveness.
That's right.
What Steve just made a transcendent leap for us.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling you, even though you were quite insensitive to Francie, we're still going to keep you on the trip.
Well, I'm looking forward to that trip.
No, it's going to be great. And what are you going to speak on? Everybody's speaking on it. I'm speaking on the Good Samaritan and Zacchaeus, two major figures there in the Bible. And what are you going to speak on? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm speaking on David and how you can be a person after God's own heart and still really be screwed up, and how that's a good thing. And the second thing I'm speaking...
People will connect with that.
People will connect with that, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And I'm also speaking on Israel and what it's like to live in between Egypt, where there's prison, and the promised land where all the answers are there, but what it's like for those of us that are living in the middle, in the wilderness, and how do you handle life?
Very good. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, and I know you just simply can't wait to hear what I'm going to say, but we both can't wait to hear what Stephen Curtis Chapman is going to be singing about. He'll be with us. There are a couple of spots left. If you call us, maybe you can go. But also, this weekend, we're in Washington, D.C., and it's our marriage weekend. And if you're struggling in some area, pack his or her bags and you guys come. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Now, I just want to get over one thing here. Are you guys saying maybe my transitions aren't smooth today? Maybe I'm
No, Jill and I were thinking, once again, you show us how to go segue the way that people ought to segue.
All right, let's go to Kathy in Waldorf. Thank you, John. Let's go to Waldorf, Maryland, WAVA. Let's talk to Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Doing great. What's going on?
Well, I heard what you said about Marie and Arnold, and, you know, it's a shame that they're getting a divorce, but my husband and I have been married for 38 years, and we have never, I cannot think of one time in 38 years where we've both had a 50-50 partnership in our marriage. Sometimes I'm carrying it 150%, sometimes he's carrying it 200%. Sometimes 75-25, but that's what marriage is. Marriage is holding each other up, carrying each other when they need to be carried, and just loving each other and knowing that you're going to work through whatever it is, and you're going to come out the other end better. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I bet that's a very secure way to live your life when you've got that kind of a foundation.
Well, for me, he is. You know, you look at him, and you might see a balding, paunchy, 60-year-old man, and you look at me, and you might see a, you know, overweight, older woman. But I look at him, and he's still that 21-year-old. You know, and he
That's
says
good.
The picture he has of me on his desk is taken many years ago, and it's not. It's just because that's how we see each other. We love each other. Our children hate being in the bedroom, in the room, same room with us. It's, get a room.
Kathy, I know my wife is listening. I heard the radio was on in her bedroom. So it's really important that we not see someone age right before us, that we still envision them when they were younger. Is that what you were saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Even before we knew them.
We always see the beauty in them.
Hey,
just
Kathy.
Imagine what they
look
like.
I still see that sexy guy walking down the aisle, you know, walking toward waiting for me in that north in his airman's uniform. And, you know, he is husband to me, is probably, he's my best friend, he's my lover, he's my confidant, he's my go-to person, and somewhere in there is the word husband. I revel in him. And there's times, times when I've looked at him and said, you know, you're worth more to me dead than alive, and there are times that he's done the same thing. And we just laugh, but because we know it's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be right. Okay.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I hope that's an inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, not only that, but the research backs up what Kathy says. You know, they they found out that one of the keys to really good marriages is that both parties are a tad bit in denial on the positive with their spouse. They see them a little better than they really are, and it's not that they're like saying, you know, they're an alcoholic and that's great, but kind of like they sort of give them a break. Like it says in Proverbs, it goes, it's a glory to a person to overlook an offense. They sort of overlook some offenses, and they see this person as this cool, you know, interesting person, and I think it's a good thing.
It's when you talk to people that have been married a long time, and they look at each other, and they've got that smile that nobody else can get, you know that smile comes from arguments and loving and enjoyment and working. That's what marriage is.
Really living life together.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you really were able to build a foundation that was connected and that's carried you through, and that you remember the good. You don't let the bad overshadow the good. And so often, so many marriages, the bad so overshadows any good that was ever there.
Well, I was wondering why our marriage was so great, and I think it's because when I'm obnoxious, Misty just thinks I'm inappropriate, or when I'm cruel, she thinks I'm a tad insensitive. So I think that's really working in our family. Actually, she's the least in denial person I know. Yes, Jill.
So those are those code words. You're being a little bit insensitive. And you know,
that's
right?
It. Maybe that's what it is.
Honey,
all right, let's go.
Put down the Uzi, honey. It's not okay right now.
Yeah. Nancy from Great Falls, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, guys. How are you? First of all, I want to tell you that you critique each other a little bit too hard.
What do you mean?
You're all doing a great job. I don't understand why you're always, you know, telling someone maybe you're talking too harsh or whatever. I think it's coming across wonderful.
Oh, so, John, I think that's in reference to you.
Nancy, I appreciate that, but two people on in the program, Terry, our the guy who runs our tech, and also Jill, both said that I was.
Oh, no. I don't believe you at all.
There's an old saying, though, Nancy. It says, what did you say, Terry? Terry
sounded,
said it sounded like.
Sounded like.
There's an old saying I like to use, which is when one person says that you're a buffoon, you tell them, you know, if one person tells you're a horse, tell them that they need medication. Mm-hmm. If five people tell you that you're a horse, go buy a saddle.
All right, whatever.
Now, that was St. Francis, I think, that said that.
Sorry,
I'm not
Saint
sure.
Francis. Excuse me.
Nancy, I know we want to talk about something else. So what's up with you? What's up with Nancy?
I'm going to make a comment real quick, and then I want to talk about myself. Anyway, listen, Maria and her husband, Arnold, you know, I got to tell you, this is my philosophy about marriage sometimes. She's gone through hell. She's lost her mother, her father, her uncle, and her cousin in a very short amount of time. And I have found that over the years, the couples who struggle with a lot are the ones who have a fabulous marriage and a strong foundation. But the ones who are weak, those marriages, they can't handle that. It just falls apart. Now, maybe you think I'm wrong, but I got to tell you, I really feel very strongly about that. You know, finding a partner in life, you know, it's somebody who really, really loves you and can help you through good and bad times. And maybe they just didn't have it in them, you know? When you're apart that much, you know, it's tough. So I feel very sorry for them. And I feel bad for her because I think there's probably a lot of guilt put on her as well.
Well, we appreciate that. Got to go to a break, but when we come back, we'll return to the Nancy from Great Falls show. She has taken over the program and is critiquing us, and we appreciate that. And, Nancy, we love that. You have grace for us. I appreciate that. And we'll take a break, come back for more of New Life Live, and we'll hear Nancy's question. Anyway, in the meantime, let's pray for Arnold and Maria. I think that would be good. This weekend, Washington, D.C., the marriage conference, you can still go, 1-800-NEW-LIFE to call. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, this is Max Locato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. He's the author of Leadership Beyond Reason, does some leadership coaching. If you wanted to know how to get involved with that, you could call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and they'd connect you. Dr. Jill Hubbard, she's the author of The Secrets That Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. And if you'd like a copy of one of those, you can go to newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now we're on with Nancy from Great Falls, Virginia.
Yes.
Nancy,
yes, Virginia.
What's the question for us?
Well, first, I have a question for you about me, but I want to wrap one thing up. I feel like when you have struggles in your life and you're married, sometimes it pulls you apart. But when you have struggles in your life and you have a great marriage, it can be wonderful. It can pull you together. I mean, I have a friend who's got she's got five kids and two of them are handicapped. She's got the most loving, wonderful marriage you ever could imagine. I have another friend who has a handicapped child, and they got divorced. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I got no comment. Okay, me.
So, yeah, tell us about you, Nancy.
I want to talk about guilt. I want to talk about guilt. I've been divorced for 11 years, and my boys were 8 years old. They're twins. They're now 19. And I had a marriage that was a loveless marriage. I don't know why. I thought I loved him, and I thought he loved me, but my antennas were always up, but I wasn't paying attention to some things. And I was 29, living here in D.C. alone. All my family was in Boston. And I didn't have any. I prayed, and I always had great faith, thank goodness, but anyway, and Peter was 36. He was 9 years older than me. Never married. We got married, and we didn't even consummate the marriage for like 4 or 5 weeks. And I never said anything. I was like, huh? What was going on? This is weird. But I think it was his way of saying, do I really want to go through with this or not? This is reflecting, okay? The marriage was so horrible. I mean, inside my body, I ached all the time because he was always distant from me. It was horrible.
Okay.
And then he had cancer, and we had cancer, blah, blah, blah. He got cancer, and he said to me, look, just take care of the kids. I'll take care of myself. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay, you're going to have to get to a question, though, but I think
okay,
we get
so,
the picture
so
that it was miserable from the very beginning and that you have some lingering guilt about this, okay?
So what happens at the very end, okay? At
so
the very
what's
end,
the question?
It was so bad. It was so bad. I said to him, we got to get a divorce, or we got to go see a counselor. We got to go do something. And he said, Nancy, everything's fine. You do your thing. I do my thing. You have your bedroom.
Yeah.
I have my bedroom. I said, our kids are 8 years old. I said, they can't see a marriage like this. This is horrible.
So how can
we need a divorce. I get a divorce. I went after the divorce, okay?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
No one could believe it. And he
could
couldn't
ask,
believe it either.
But could you get to a question here so we could help you? Or otherwise, we're going to run out of time.
Well, I guess my question is, so I asked for the divorce, but I get all the blame.
Okay, ask me a question about that then.
He blames me.
No, ask me a question about that, though. Start with what or how or why, something like that.
Why?
Okay, good. Why
do I feel that I'm to blame for this divorce?
Why do you feel that you're...
like I'm to blame?
Okay, well, let's see what John or Jill have to say about why you
Nancy,
might feel
Nancy, I have one thought. It's interesting because when you were talking to us before... you seem to be a person that looks for the good in others and sees, you know, what people's good intentions probably are and kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And, I could hear that in the different scenarios that you were discussing. And I think, you see yourself in that same way too. So to have this man that clearly was disengaged from you and is dumping, you know, more on you than belongs to you, I think that's really intolerable for you.
How do I get rid of it?
Well,
it's been 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. So he's had a lot of power in your life, and
yes.
You know, you keep saying he's blaming me. Okay, you are the one that is blaming you now. So you kind of have to really examine what is your part and what was his part. And you're right, sometimes marriages just don't work because two people aren't willing, regardless of who files the paperwork. And it's a really sad thing. But no matter...
Well, you know, when it comes to push to shove, you know, well, who asked for the divorce? Nancy did. Oh, my goodness, she asked for the divorce, you know? But he was willing to live the way we were living, so I just did it. And to this day, I've never been with anybody. I've had a couple of dates. I just don't feel worth it. It's just awful.
So what he has dumped on you, you are believing?
Correct. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Well, I don't know if it's weird or not.
Well, Nancy, let me give you a formula. I wrote a book called Where is God? And there's a chapter in here about what I call the sin pie chart. There's three kinds of sins that we all struggle with. There's my sin, so maybe you made an impulsive decision. There's the other person's sin when they were mean or controlling or unloving. And then there's the broken world sin, that the world's sort of a tough place to live. And the fix you do for any part of that pie chart is different. So I go, okay, this whole thing about this horrible marriage, this was X percent my fault. Well, I've got to repent, and I've got to ask forgiveness, and I've got to be sorry and sad for that, and that's why we have Jesus. The part that's the sin against me, that's the husband, crazy husband part, I've got to forgive, and I've got to heal, and I've got to let go. And the part of a broken world, maybe we were two young kids in a crazy world, and it was just too tough, and we didn't have any money, I've got to adapt to that. So you forgive, you get forgiveness from the Lord and your friends for the part that you did play, and then you grieve and heal from the stuff that he did and forgive him, and then you move on. And that's how we get through these tough situations in life.
Kind of the three words, accept, grieve, forgive. First you accept the reality, grieve the loss of what you wish reality had been, and then move into that forgiveness place.
But there's also the ask forgiveness, too. Because she's tormented. Nancy's, I'm sorry, you're tormented by, you know, the kind of woulda, shoulda, coulda. That might be why you haven't dated now. So you need to not only let go of him, but make sure that you know that God has forgiven you and your good friends have forgiven you. And then you can get that clean cup and get back out there and get a date.
And it's not dependent on him forgiving
you. There you go.
Yeah, very good. Okay, great advice from you guys. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the next program, we're going to do another one here right after this one. We'll take your questions, and we really love getting to do this, by the way. We need your support to continue to do it, and if you can help us, if you've never, ever supported the ministry, we're asking you to step in, because so many of our supporters have given and given and given, and we need some new people to come along. We had about 1,000 new supporters last month, and that's how we made it in April. I need another 1,000 new supporters this month. And so please, if you've never given to the program and you've meant to, or you thought, oh, you know, maybe I ought to, or I've listened a long time, never helped these people, well, don't let it come down to where, you know, we're having to beg here, which I often do. And please don't let us go off the air. We really want to be here for you. And it's just one of the greatest privileges of life to do this. So if you feel led and called and you can and you've been wanting to and you think it's time, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen and support us. We're going to see you here next time on New Life Live. We really do love you, and we're praying for you. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.